Why is it that we have a concept of Kabbalat Shabbat, but we do not have the same concept as Kabbalat Yom Tov? Ever think about that? Okay? What do you mean because of the time? So? I say, why is it that we have a Kabbalat Shabbat, but we do not have the concept of Kabbalat Yom Tov? We have a special davening on Yom Tov, but we do not introduce Yom Tov the way we introduce Shabbos. And so therefore, Rav Soloveitchik explains that there's a major difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov. On Shabbat, we are essentially inviting HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our homes. On Chag, we're
being invited.
On Chag, we're Ola Regel. On Chag, we're going to into our shuls, into our homes. So therefore, it's only fitting that when we invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our homes, we receive him in a proper way. Hence, we have the concept of Kabbalat Shabbat. Now, Kabbalat Shabbat, the way we have it today, has six mizmorim. Then we have Ana B'Koach and Lecha Dodi.
That's relatively new.
And then we have the seventh mizmor is our mizmor that we're going to be studying today, the mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. So it appears in the Friday night tefillah as the seventh mizmor. Now, when we talk about Kabbalat Shabbat really has two aspects to it. On one side, it's the end of the melacha of the 6 days, and there's a certain amount, just like when we have a fast day, a voluntary fast day, there has to be an acceptance. So here too, the absence of work has an acceptance of Shabbat on one side, that would be the negative side. And the positive, the flip side of the Kabbalat Shabbat is the idea of accepting the holiness and the sanctity of Shabbat. Now, according to the Shulchan Aruch, he says, what was Kabbalat Shabbat in his time? Reciting this mizmor. That was it. That was it. This mizmor. And once you said this mizmor, you have accepted the Shabbat. That is the Shulchan Aruch. And as early as the Rambam, he also lists Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat as the beginning of Shabbat. Interestingly enough, the Rama, who lived in 1520 in Poland, 1520, that's pretty late, he says in his communities in Poland, there was no Kabbalat Shabbat, not even Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. Even that was not said, and people came to Shul, and they immediately began with Baruch Hu. Okay, that was already 1520 in Poland. Sephardic communities already in the 11th century, they were already reciting Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. And we know this because we have a letter that was sent to Rambam where they write, this is what we're doing in our community, should we continue with it? And Rambam says, yes, every community should stay with their concepts. It was only from the time of the Kabbalists at the end of the 16th century in Sfat that Kabbalat Shabbat in its entirety became part of the idea. And it actually is based on the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Shabbat, Gemara Shabbat, that describes how certain Tanaim would go out and literally go out and greet the Shabbat to the fields, so that there were certain Kabbalists in Sfat who used to go out actually from the city to greet Shabbat. The first time we find Kabbalat Shabbat in the printed Siddur is in the Seder Hayom of Rav Moshe ben Machir, which is 1599. Okay, so you're talking about 1600 is the first time, and there were different Tehillim that were chose, but they all do include Lecha Dodi. The six Tehillim that appear before Lecha Dodi are obviously supposed to remind you of the 6 days of creation. Six Tehillim, 6 days of creation. And if you take a quick peek at your source sheet, you will notice at the very end of the source sheet, at source number 8, I picked out for you from each of the six chapters, one verse. And you'll see what the idea that follows through with these verses. Okay? Source number 8, you see it? So the first one is Ki El Gadol Hashem Umelech Gadol Al Kol HaElokim, God as Melech. Yomu Bagoyim Hashem Melech Ach Tikon Tevel Baltimot Yadin Amim B'Meisharim. Again, Malchut Hashem. The third one, Hashem Malach Tagel Ha'aretz Yismechu Iyim Rabim. Fourth one, B'Chatzrot B'Kol Shofar Hariu Lifnei HaMelech Hashem. Hashem Malach Yigazu Amim Yoshev Puvim Tanut Ha'aretz. Ve'oz Melech Mishpat Ahav Atakonanta Meishrim Mishpat Tzedaka B'Yakov Atasisa. Hashem Mabul Yeshav Vayeshav Hashem Melech Li'olam. Okay, when I do it this way, when I pull out one sentence from each of the Mizmorim, those six Mizmorim that we say before L'chadodi, you obviously see that the idea there is not necessarily anything connected to Shabbat per se, but the concept of Hashem as Melech, Hashem as creator, that we see in his creation. And that is specifically why these ideas were chosen. So that the idea of Kabbalat Shabbat is this acknowledgement that God is king, and he put man on this earth to La'avda u'lishamra. And man can basically do whatever he wants during those 6 days of creation. And then comes Shabbat, so to speak, and the world is again restored to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and man sort of proclaims himself to be Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in there. And that's why the work that is Shabbat is all the sort of creative work which shows our mastery on the universe. Now, if we say that that is true about the six chapters that come before L'chadodi, and L'chadodi needs its whole own discussion, so we're going to leave that for now. But then we come to the one after L'chadodi, which is our Tehillim of Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. And so what we want to do is, let's read through our Mizmor. And other than the first sentence, right, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat, we want to sort of look for what is the connection between our Mizmor and Shabbat. Okay, and obviously in addition to Friday night, we also say it Shabbos morning during Shacharit. It's also the Shir Shel Yom of Shabbat. Okay, it is a very, very well-known chapter. So there are actually two things I'm going to ask you to do while we're reading the chapter. That's right. That's the first one I want you to do. The first thing I want you to do is look for the Shabbos connection. And the second thing is divide it into its sections. Okay. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. Everybody's familiar with it. We'll do it quickly. Tov l'hodot l'Hashem u'lezamer l'shimcha elyon. It is a good thing to sing praises and thank God and his great name. L'hagid baboker chazdecha, to praise his chasodim in the morning. Ve'emunatcha b'alelot, and the faithfulness at night. Alei asar v'alei naval. We should thank God with the instrument that has 10 strings and with a navel, with a harp. Alei higayon b'kinar, and we should sing with the kinar. Ki samachtani Hashem b'fa'alecha, because God, you have made me happy with your creations. U'maseh yadecha aranein, and I will pray what you made with your hands. Ma'gadlu ma'asecha Hashem, how great God are your creations. Ma'od amku machshavotecha, how deep are your thoughts. Ish ba'ar lo yeda, uksil lo yavin et zot. A boor, a simpleton, a even more offensive term we could say, doesn't understand this, and a stupid man doesn't have the understanding. Bifroach rishaim kamo esev, when the rishaim grow up like grass, V'yatzitzu kol polei oven, and all the guys who do bad spurt forth, lishmidam adei ad, may they be destroyed forever. Va'ata maram li'olam Hashem, but you, God, are forever almighty. Ki hine oivecha yovedu, for your enemies they should perish, v'yitpardu kol polei oven, and all those who do evil should be scattered out. Vatir em kir em karni betoli b'shemen ra'anan. But my horn should be raised up. Let me be anointed with this oil. Vatebet einai b'shurai b'kamim alai merim tishma ana aznai. Let my eyes see what awaits me, and my ears hear of what the evildoers are saying. Tzadik katamar yifra ke'erez balvanon yiskeh. May the tzaddik flourish like the palm tree, and may he be strong, grow like the cedars in Lebanon. Shitulim beveit Hashem b'chatzrot Elokeinu yafrichu. He should be planted in the house of Hashem, in the courtyard. He will blossom. O jinuvun b'seva d'sheinim v'raninim yihiyu. Even when they are old, they will still be able to produce fruit and be young and healthy. Lahagid ki yashar Hashem, in order that they can declare that God is just. Hashem tsui v'lo avlata bo, and there is no unrighteousness in God. Okay, connection to Shabbat. Okay, Maaseh Shabbat. Hashem isn't making creations on Shabbat. Hashem has also stopped creation. The creation of Shabbat. Is that what you want to say?
Creation that Hashem made.
So the other 6 days. So it's like sort of reflecting back on the 6 days of creation. Okay. Okay. So that is probably the most common answer that the commentators say, is that what happens here, and that's the first sentence, Tov lahodot l'Hashem. It's good to praise God. Why is it good to praise God on Shabbat? Because Shabbat is the first time you have time. That's right. That you're busy running all week, and it only comes to Shabbat that you have this idea to sit down and contemplate the works that God did. You have the idea to say that I can now think about the creation and therefore praise Him. Okay, that's a connection. Anybody see anything else?
Actually, other than that, there's nothing.
Okay, so that's what we're going to have to sort of investigate here today. That, right, there is that, but it doesn't, nothing else jumps out to you.
Did they play instruments on Shabbat?
Yes, they did.
Yeah,
okay. But they played it all, I think they played it all week too.
Week too.
I don't know if it was unique. Okay, how about division? How did you divide it? Let's do it simple. Let's go for the simple division first. The simple division that's forced by the Das Mikra is Aleph to Vav. All-inclusive, or Bet Tavav, really, because Aleph is introduction, Bet Tavav, which you would sum up as being thanking Hashem, praising God for the things that He does, and finally Zion, to the end of the chapter, is the Tzaddik and the Rasha, right, the Tzaddikim, the person, the Tzaddikim as compared to the Rishaim, and what is going to happen to them. Okay, I am going to offer another division at the end, but let's work with this because this is the most obvious one and the one that jumps out with us. Now, what's interesting, as opposed to the other shoms that we say, this is the only one that actually says Liyom HaShabbat, right? It's the only one that actually mentions, we don't say Liyom HaShlishi, right? We don't have any idea like that, and you have it here in source number one. You have the Mishnah, which lists the Tehillim that were said on each day. Hashir shehayu ha-levi'im omrim bebeit ha-mikdash. And let's skip, because we don't need to go through the other week, just to skip down to the bottom. And you asked me that, by the way, what number is this chapter? It is chapter 92, Tzadibet. I should have written it on the top of the page. I apologize if I did not. Tehillim Tzadibet. And the Mishnah says, b'shabbat hayu omrim. I'm on the second to last sentence. Mizmor shir liyom ha-shabbat. Mizmor shir le'atid lavo li'olam shekulo Shabbat. Okay, so that's something we're already getting some sort of reference that we're talking about, not only about our present day Shabbat, but just the way Shabbat is 1/60th of Geula harachamon yachilenu yom shekulo Shabbat, that this chapter somehow reflects, and we'll see how, this future. Now, who wrote our chapter? Okay, there are a number of different opinions, and let me present them to you. Well, first of all, the fact that it appears in Sefer Tehillim means that automatically we attribute it to David. That's important for us to mention, right, whether he edited, whether he put it in, that there is a connection to David. The second opinion is the opinion that this was actually written by Moshe. Why? What number chapter is this? This is chapter 92. In, if you open up your Tehillim, chapters 90 to chapters 100 are Tefillah L'Moshe. Now look carefully. If you take a look at Mizmar, where was that pen? Mizmar, Shir, Liyom, HaShabbat, what letters do you get? Moshe. Mizmar, if you mix the letters up, you've got Moshe there. You see? Mizmar, Shir, Liyom, HaShabbat. Limosha. That's how you get it, Limosha. Okay, but if you don't want to go, look here. 90 to 100 in Tehillim are all chapters that are associated with Moshe. And one of them very clearly says Tefillah L'Moshe. Now, if you also think about it for a minute, look at source number 4. It's a source that you're all familiar with. Source number 4 is Shemot Rabbah. Vayar b'sivlotam. It's at the bottom of the fourth side. Ra'ah she'ein lahem minucha. When Moshe comes to Egypt, he sees that the Jews have no rest. Halach va'amar l'paro. He comes and he says to Paro, Mi she'yesh lo eved, im eno nach yom echad b'shavua hu meit. Anybody who has a slave, if you work him 7 days a week, he's going to die. Ve'elu avodecha. He says, you're being silly, because if you don't give them one day, they're going to die of overwork. So that... So that Shabbat... Shabbat is a gift that was brought by Moshe to Am Yisrael when they were in Egypt. And we say in Tefillah Shacharit, Yismach... Moshe b'matnat chalko. What was the present that Moshe brought to Am Yisrael was the Shabbat. So that to say that this chapter, because of its location, because of the words, because of the Shabbos concept, there is this connection that it was written by Moshe. However, so we have David, we have Moshe. The more common and the more well-known explanation is that this chapter is actually attributed to Adam HaRishon. Now, I have found, I think, at least 4 or 5 different events in Adam's life that Chazal associate them with Adam. Let's look at some of them. If you look at source, and let's just take a quick peek at source number 5, and you'll see something cute, because we're already there. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, HaMizmar Ze Adam HaRishon Amro. Yes, this chapter was written by Adam HaRishon. V'nishkach. The Chaladarot, it was forgotten. Ad Sheba Moshe V'chidshuhu. So that's how we get the Adam together with the Rishon. And remember, I'm going to remind you, those of you who were here last week, we spent quite a bit of time last week talking about the connection between Adam and David. I want to remind you that, okay? So now we have David, we have a David and Adam connection, and now we have Moshe bringing back that which was forgotten, that was originally written by Adam. Now, under what circumstances did Adam write this opinion? So this Mizmar. So the first opinion you're going to find in source 3. Source 3, the Yalkut Shimoni, letter Aleph. Amar Reb Levi. Mizmar hazeh Adam HaRishon Amro, Paga Adam HaRishon Bekayin. Amar leo, ma na'ase b'dincha? Amar lei, asiti tshuva v'nitparti. Hitchil Adam HaRishon, mitapech epanav omer, kach hu gadol kocha shel tshuva v'lo hayiti yodea. After Cain kills Hevel, Adam bumps into him and says to him, yeah, by the way, tell me what happened. And Cain says to him, I did tshuva and God forgave me. Adam HaRishon says, wow, I didn't know that tshuva could be done. Umiyad admad Adam HaRishon ve'amar Mizmor shir liyom HaShabbat. What is the root word of Shabbat? Shuv, to return. Tov lehodot Lashem. We always translate hodot as to praise, but hodot also has the root word of vidui, of confess. So opinion number one is, and this really sort of changes our concept of what Shabbat is, because here what Adam HaRishon is, he's writing this chapter as a chapter of tshuva, a chapter of tshuva, which is somehow an integral connection to Shabbat. So that's opinion number one. Opinion number two, if you continue reading, in Yalkut Shimoni Ot Bet, Rabbi Shimon Omer, HaMizmar Azeh Adam HaRishon Omro, Lefi Sheba Yom HaShabbat V'Naseh Sanegor LaAdam Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar, Ribon HaOlam, V'Sheshet Yemei HaMaseh Lo Neharag Ish BaOlam Ubi Ata Matchil. What's the storyline here? The storyline is Adam HaRishon has sinned and God wants to kill him off. Shabbat comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Shabbat says, you spent the 6 days creating the world, and you're just creating, and now it's going to come Shabbat, and you're going to
destroy?
Zehu kedushai v'zehu brechatai. This is what Shabbat is? This is what it means? V'nitzal Adam HaRishon medina shel gehenom b'zchut Shabbat. It's as if Shabbat saved Adam HaRishon from the punishment. Ukishera'a Adam kocha shel Shabbat. And when Adam HaRishon saw the power that Shabbat has, hitchil mishorer miz mashir yom haShabbat. He started singing the psalm to Shabbat. Amar le Shabbat. Shabbat turned to Adam HaRishon. Li ata omer himon. Why are you praising me? Ani va'ata ne'ma himnon laKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's say together the shir to Tov lehodot LaShem. But what it does is it also it sort of also gives us a different concept of what Shabbat is. It changes the concept that Shabbat is literally that which gives Adam koach, a northern koach, actual life. It's the Shabbat that saved Adam Rishon then. And the question is what continues to go on with us now. Another opinion that we see in the sources is that Adam HaRishon actually recited this prayer when Shabbat came in, one second, and he was just overwhelmed with the magnitude of creation. And that's hence the pasuk for that would be the Marabu Masech Hashem. He looks back on Shabbat and he sees this greatness. There's another opinion here that Adam was shown, and we mentioned this last week, that Adam was shown all of the future generation, and he sees all 6,000 years, and therefore he says, Magad Lumasecha, and he is Ma'od Amku Machshavotecha. He sees that God has this plan. So that we have it in various different times in the life of Adam, and it seems to me that there is some sort of connection to Adam HaRishon's experience, be it be his first Shabbat, which is also a returning, and be it or the one after Kayin, but he's turning to the Shabbat and giving this Shira. Now, let's continue moving on. This idea of what is it that is happening in the connection to the Shabbat. So the first answer we gave was already that people have the ability to sit and contemplate Shabbat, and that you have in source 2, which is you have in the Ibn Ezra, but many Mefarshim say it. Bavor heyot nishmat hamaskil b'sheshet yimei hamaseh mitbodedet boskei haolam alkein hi mitbodedet b'shabbat lavin maaseh Hashem v'niflotav. During the 6 weeks, man is very busy, and on the Shabbat he has time to contemplate God. Ki samachti Hashem b'falecha, and I'm happy with God's creation. V'alder shnot hashmitah shishmu'u kol haTorah l'man yilmedu v'yiro. Just like the purpose of shnat hashmitah is so that you should sit and contemplate, so too the Shabbos, also on the combination of the seven, you should sit and contemplate. Now there is also this idea that people actually came to the Mikdash on Shabbat. During the week, people did not have time to come to the Mikdash, and so it wasn't Shabbat that they had the idea to contemplate. Okay? And so we have this idea of, therefore, it is good to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and look at his creations. Now, what do you notice here? If you look at Pasuk Gimel, what do you notice about Pasuk Gimel? Lagid baboker, in the boker you have the chesed, and in the emunah at the lelot. Now this is something that we are familiar with. We're familiar with from the Shema, the emes v'yatziv that we say in Shachrit, as opposed to the emet, the emunah, that we say at nighttime. There's a very simple reason why Elie Wiesel called his book Night. Okay? Night has this concept of fear, suffering, tribulations, all of those ideas at night.
Night is unclear, and that's why you need emunah.
Right, because you can't see at night, so therefore you need the emunah, because you have to trust, it's not clear, so you have to look forward. Now, you will notice something else. Also, what's the difference between Boker and Laila? Look carefully.
Boker
is singular, and Leilot is plural. Why would that be?
Shorter life is longer one. Boker is more fleeting than night.
Boker, because Boker is more fleeting, but if Boker is the redemption, it shouldn't be more fleeting.
It shouldn't.
So then we have to find another explanation why. Right. Okay, so it could be that this is exactly what's being referred to here, the darkness of the exile as opposed to the geula. When you're at night and people are suffering, also everybody suffers separately. Right, Anna Karenina? Right, the happy people are all the same, and unhappy people, whatever the quote is. That the happy families are all the same, that's Boker, but unhappy families are all different, and that's the idea that the Leilot are all different. So that could be one as well. Also, when you can see it in the morning, things look clearer, it's easier to see it as one unit. Night, everything is word confusing. The Radak gives a very simple explanation here. The Radak, now remember when he's living, right? The Radak says that how many mornings do we have to contemplate God? One, Shabbos morning. How many nights do we have? Two, Friday night and Shabbos night. Remember, they didn't go out to work, they didn't have lights, they didn't have... So he says that's why Boker is one, and I thought it was cute, and Leilot are two, that you have one night to praise God, but two nights to go out as well. Okay, and so then we say that we should use these the musical instruments, and both the harp with our hand. Now, the asar has ten strings. Now, 10 strings, as opposed to the harp that David used. Do you know this? David had, I think, David had 7. David's kinor, the classic kinor, had 7, but the 10-string instrument is one that we haven't used yet, but we are going to use. That the Levium are going to use when the 10, so that in other words, the 10 represents the world to come. The 10 also represents here, I think, the idea of the Melechet of the Yadayim, the 10 fingers that we're using during the week, and that we're using now to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the interesting thing is the Al-Sheikh says here that Adam sinned, God cursed him with 10 curses. And when will those curses go away? When we use those 10 stringed instruments. And just I think on a very simple level, anything that's in B'Kedusha needs 10. Needs your minion. And so that's what it's referring to here, is this harp that is going to have 10 strings eventually. Okay, so we're praising God with the string, with the instruments, with our mouth. And what is it that we're happy about? We are happy with Hashem's Pasuk Hei, Ki Samachtani Hashem Befalecha. We're happy with what it is that God did. Okay, so what is Pa'alecha Umaseh Yadecha? What is that referring to? So according to the Zohar, it's actually referring, what did God actually form? The world, and specifically Adam. Adam. So it is Adam who is actually thanking God for creating him, and he is happy with that creation. And the Malbim makes a distinction here. What is the difference between Pa'alecha and Ma'asei Yadecha? What's the difference? The Malbim says that God conducts the world in two ways. There's the Teva, the natural way, and that's the Pa'alecha, right? But then there are times HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle, and he has to do something out of Teva. That would be Ma'asei Yadecha. That's the miraculous, the supernatural. And now, connected to this pasuk, we get a whole bunch of medrashim and stories that many of you are probably familiar with, but I thought it was worthwhile stopping and taking a look at them. Look on the back of page 4, at the top of the page. It's also in the Yalkut Shimoni. This time we're at Ot Zion. So we're at 3 Zion. Ki simachtani Hashem bepa'alecha. Amar Reb Chizkia b'shem Reb Yemiyahu. Ma'aseh b'talmid echad sh'Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. There's a famous story that happened with the student of Shimon bar Yochai. She'yatza l'schora v'herviach v'eshir. He goes out to open a business and he gets really wealthy. Hayu ha'talmidim ro'im et harevach she'herviach v'ayu mitzarim etzmo. And the other students see it and they see how much money he gets and they're, you know, feeling a little sorry for themselves. Ma'asa Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So what does Shimon bar Yochai do? Nasiv lohon l'talmidim v'nafak b'hon l'bik'ah. He brings them to a valley. Amar l'bik'ah. Bik'ah hat meli dinarin zahav. Valley, fill yourself up with gold coins. Miyad mit melah bik'ah dinarin zahav. And immediately the valley fills up with gold. Amu l'talmidav. He says to his students, kol achad mikan t'kol ma'ashem rak t'mkesh. Anybody who wants, please, help yourself. Ella, but you should know, Hayu yodim, shekol mishu no tell me menu, but you should, whoever takes now, matan schora, schoro latid lavo, who no tell. Know that you're taking from your reward in the next words. Kevin shera'u kein, just when he puts it for them in that perspective, hetchilu omrim, they said, kisa machtani Hashem b'mfalech v'asei yadecha. We're happy. We're happy with what it is now. We don't want. And again, we have another story like that, Maaseh b'Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, and this is probably one that you're more familiar with, Tehavei Erev Pesach. It's Erev Pesach, and he doesn't have in his house a penny. There is nothing in his house for him to buy chag with, and you all know what Pesach costs. And his wife, they had so nothing that his wife takes sticks, and she puts them into the oven just so that there should be smoke coming out of her kilu, because she didn't want anybody to think that, hey, why is there no smoke coming out of the thing? She didn't want to be embarrassed. So she literally had nothing to cook. So Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta saw this. He goes out of the city and he davens. A hand comes out from heaven and gives him now you see the story in a number of different ways. In our story here, it says an even achat. Many other stories, it's actually a leg of a table, a golden leg of a table, and he takes it, and he goes home, and he buys all the food that he needs, and he comes home with this huge basket, and he brings it to the wife, and he says, look, we don't have to be hungry, we can make chag now, and she says to him, no way, I'm not touching any of that until you tell me where it came from. You know, you're gonna, and he says, finally, she doesn't want to tell her, finally, he tells her, hetricha la v'gila la mahamasa, he tells her what happens. Amra lo, so she says to him, V'kibata lele yageh b'devashem mitukan lecha la'olam haba. Understand, she says, that what you're taking is something that we're supposed to have in olam haba. She'esh ulchana pagum mechavrecha. Your table is going to be, instead of being a four-leg table, you're going to have a three-leg table because you just got the leg. Something's going to be missing. Lech v'tpalel v'achzeret hachefet. She says, give it back. Give it back. I don't want it. Halach v'achzir mashalakach. Or he either gives back the leg, or he takes the thing and he gives it back, and he gets the oven back. And again, the hand comes out, and he takes this oven back. And right, the taking the back was even greater than the giving. He says, I can pray that you should give it to me, but it's hard to pray for something that you should take away. Hitchil Amar Kisamachtani Hashem Bifa'alecha. Okay. What's interesting? So, and they should rather have nothing to eat than have from her Olam Haba. Which also sort of puts this chapter into perspective, as we said, this idea of Shabbat as a Yom La'atid Lavo. This idea also is the reward is La'olam Haba. And then we have Magadlu Masecha Hashem, Ma'od Amku Machshavotecha. There's, you know, a wonderment at the creation that a Kaddish Baruch Hu made, and it says, stay on the sheet that you are. If you look at Ot Chet, the Yalkut Shimoni says, Bo re'e kama mine chayot ubehemot ba'olam. Look at the animals, look at creation, look at the difference that Kaddish Baruch Hu made, kama mine dagim bayam, shema kolo mareo dat otam shel ze domel hazeh, are any of them even the same? And this, of course, goes back to the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates thousands of human beings, and each human being is different, and this falls into the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That, and now the idea of Ma'od Amku Machshavotecha, when I contemplate the creation of God on Shabbat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also designed the world in such a way that he himself is hidden. Right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions can't be seen. It has to be that way. This is the way that God created the world. So that's the idea, and that brings us to the next pasuk, which says Ish ba'ar lo yeda uksil lo yavin et zot. These people, the ba'ar and the ksil, don't understand this. What is this? What is this, though? Okay, so either you can read it, and the Mefarshim read it both ways. Some of the Mefarshim read in the Psukim that came before us. That what is it that the Ksil and the Ba'ar, they don't understand Masecha Hashem, to be happy with what God did. That's some read. And some of it read it the other way. It's introduction to the next couple of Psukim. What is it the Ksil doesn't understand? He doesn't understand that Resha grows up like grass, and that's it. So you could read it either way in terms of that. What is the difference between a bar and a ksil? What is the difference between a bar and a ksil? So the Hirsch, right? So the Rav Hirsch is something very similar. Rav Hirsch here says a bar is somebody who just can't understand. He doesn't have an IQ, and he just doesn't understand. The ksil is somebody who has the ability to understand, but he's not interested. That's right. He doesn't have the interest in delving into the subject to find out what it is, and he distorts the truth in order to live his life in his happy little world. Verse 8, B'froch v'sha'im k'mo esev, v'yatzitzu kol palei aven l'shmidama de'ad. Notice, first of all, that in verse 8 and in verse 10 are your only two verses that you have three sections. That's just a poetic thing I want you to notice. All the other ones have two batim. These both have three. And now, what does it mean when the resha grows up like Esev, that they just grow wherever, you don't have to plant it, it just pops up, but at the same time, it doesn't have permanence, right? It comes and it goes, it dries up very quickly. And fools, according to Rashi, he says here, that fools don't realize that the wicked prosper in this world, but it's very transient, it's fleeting, and that's why God is just rewarding them for whatever they've done in this world. Maharal points out something fascinating here. He says, the maturation of any creature is directly parallel to its importance. The maturation of a creature is directly connected to its importance. Hence, puppies are, what does it take them? A week to stand up. Goats take a couple of hours, right? Different baby animals are very quickly able to go out and take care of themselves and function. And men, you know, we'll just leave that at that. Okay. This, as mothers, everybody will interpret that the way they want. Okay? But in other words, the idea is that the tzaddik takes a long time to develop, and that's why it takes him a man in general. And therefore, those with Sha'im who pop up like Esav, they're also going to be destroyed la'adei ad forever. Okay? Va'ata marom la'olam Hashem. But you, God, as opposed to these wicked who come in the world and disappear, and they think that God is not watching them, that the idea is that God is there and he is supervising what's going on. The Vav, in the beginning of the Pasuk, that probably doesn't mean, it doesn't mean and, it means but. You know, like the Hashem as compared to the Rishaim. Okay? And Pasuk Yud, Ki Hine Oivecha. Now notice you have the repetition of Oivecha twice here. Why do you have the double language? So according to the Chazon Ish, he says the double language refers to the two Beit HaMikdashes that are going to be destroyed. The Ibn Ezra has an interesting idea. He says that anybody who raises a hand against Am Yisrael is also raising a hand against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So our enemies are your enemies. That idea, there is also, according to Rav Hirsch, these enemies are those who look down on, he talks about specifically the moral laws. And that's what HaKadosh, and that's the Pole Oven, that's what's being refused to, those who abuse power. And so therefore what should happen in verse 11, Vatir'em kir'em kani loti b'shemen ra'anan. Now this is a bit of a problematic pasuk, but all of a sudden it's something fascinating that's happening in the chapter. All of a sudden, and if you look at like 8, 9, and 10, right, the poet is complaining about why is it that the Rishaim have life good. And then already in verse 11, he doesn't have an answer to his question, but what does he say? Whatever happens to them is them, but what should happen to me? Vatir'em kir'em kani. But Hashem, you should lift me up. You should save me from these enemies. The karnei re'em we saw last week, you remember what they are? They're a symbol of strength. There they were a symbol of enemy strength, but here it's saying that it should be his strength, and that Hashem should get rid of his enemies. Now, what is the shemen here? What is the shemen? First of all, shemen on the pshat level, shemen is a symbol of happiness, of prosperity, of having time to do those type of things. And you'll notice also that here the author is talking in first person, right? You notice he's talking first person, and he's saying that he should be able to be saved from the enemies. Some of the Farshim say that this actually refers to David, and that's a story that you also know, how Shaul came and he tried to pour the shemen on the brothers and Shmuel, and it didn't come out, and that only when he poured it on David was he able. This would be a hint back to David. Vatabet einai b'sharai b'kamim alai merim tishmana aznai. And I'm lucky that I see the enemies being destroyed. I see their falling. In other words, in all of my senses, I am able to see that I have been victorious and they have fallen. The tzaddik here in the next pasuk in your gimel is being compared to both the Tamar and the Erez. Now these are well-known comparisons. Why is the tzaddik compared to the palm tree? So the whole bunch of different explanations. One is that it grows straight without bending, and so the tzaddik heart goes straight up. Another one is that the wood is very smooth and it's free of knots, so the tzaddik is free of flaws. The palm's shady leaves are far off the ground at the very top of the tree, and that symbolizes the reward of the tzaddikim, as we're saying throughout the year, is that it's going to be in the future. Another thing about the palm tree, which is interesting, is that the Medrash says that all parts of the tree are useful. The fruits can be eaten, the leaves are used for thatching, the wood is used for construction, and that's the idea is that the tzaddik, everything that he does is all for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or the Midrash also says that all Jews, even regular people have good to them, and that it represents the whole people rather than just the tzaddik. This cedar, that's the palm tree. What's the cedar?
Strength.
Cedar represents strength. It represents very strong, very strong roots. It's taller than any of the other trees. It lasts for many, many years. And so Rav Hirsch says we have both trees because the palm tree gives fruit, but it doesn't last very long. The cedar lasts very long, but doesn't have fruit. So we want the tzaddik to have both of those aspects. Shitulim b'veit Hashem. And they are planted in the courtyard of Hashem. As opposed to the Rishaim, who were compared to grass, which just grows up wherever. That's right. You're wild. You're supposed to make the comparison here. The tzaddikim are deliberately being planted in the chatzar of Hashem, and that is where they are going to flourish. Verse 15, O genuvun b'seva d'shanim v'anim liyu, even when they are old, the tzaddikim still are able to produce fruit. They still are able to be as if young, that they are still filled with good deeds, even when they're old, they're not dried up. And finally, verse 16, Lahagid ki yashar Hashem, tsuri v'lo avlata bo, and that this idea is that they will able to continue praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when they are old. Now finally, of course, I think that the last pasuk is supposed to remind you of two things. First of all, the last pasuk Tet Zayin is supposed to remind you back to pasuk Bet. How does Tet Zayin go back to Bet? In Bet we suggested it was Tov Lahodot Lashem. But now in Tet Zayin we say Lahagid. We have to state it. It was not a suggestion anymore. It's a fact, and the poet wants to praise. It's a declaration of truth. Lahagid ki yashar Hashem. Remember the question, how come the tzaddikim are suffering and the rishaim are it's good for them? And now the last pasuk says, ki yashar Hashem tzuri v'lo avlataba. And I think that's supposed to remind you of source 6, pasuk that you all know, the one that comes from Hazinu, Lamed Bet pasuk Dalid. Hatsur tamim pa'alo kichol do'achav mishpat el emunah ve'ein avel tzadik v'yashar. So what ends up happening is when we go through these psukim, it seems to us that it really is essentially another chapter of Tehillim that deals with tzadik v'ralo v'rasha v'tov. We have the praise at the beginning, and then we have this idea, how come the Rishaim are prospering and the tzaddikim are not? And then at the end, the poet expresses his concern, his idea that he will also
win
at the end as well. Now, first of all, if you think about it for a minute, if this was written by Adam HaRishon, tshuva and Rishaim being successful are directly connected. You can't have one without the other. Why? Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow somebody to do tshuva, if tshuva is going to be a reality in this world, then God gives every individual
a chance,
a time. And so that therefore a rasha can do something and he doesn't get punished immediately. So that if you want to have one, you're going to have the other. And so that's one of the things that Adam HaRishon is saying here, that he's realizing that once I have tshuva, I'm going to have the resha who are doing well as well.
He didn't know that.
Adam, as somebody who himself went through a sin and was punished, he went through an exile. Now, it happens to be there's some interesting things about this chapter that I want to take a look at more. First of all, a mourner, somebody who's on Avelut, doesn't come for Kabbalat Shabbat. They come here, and what's the first sentence they're being told essentially when they come in is Tov Laudot Lashem. That's the first message that they're hearing. Now, let me suggest to you another division here. If you look back at your chapter, We could actually divide it into three sections. Three. The first section, now the first sentence I'm not dealing with, that's an introductory. If you look from Pasuk Bet to Pasuk Chet, okay, Bet to Chet, is section one. Right, we said that already. Then Pasuk Tet, we did Vav, that's right. We're doing Bet to Chet now, which is how many verses, by the way? Seven. Then we have Pasuk Tet, which, by the way, you'll notice is the shortest. And that stands by itself. And then we have Yud to Tet Zion, which is the second half, which is again seven. It's again seven. So you have 7, 1, 7. Now take a look in your source sheet at source Dalid. Three Dalid. It's the Yalkut Shimoni Dalid. Tov lehodot lahashem. B'mizmar atamotzei sheva azkarot. The Medrash here is telling us, wait a minute, they're actually, the Shem Hashem appears in our chapter seven times. How? In the first section, how many times? That first section I just gave you. How many times? From verse 2 to 8. Three. In that first section, God's name appears three times. In verse 9, God's name appears once. And in the next section, how many times does God's name appear? Three. Okay, so you have 3, 1, 3. Why do we have God's name appearing 3, 1, 3? Why do we have on Shabbat that's 3, 1, 3? Come on, get more specific. Correct. The brachos of Shmona Esrei on Shabbat have seven brachot, as opposed to the 19 that we have during the week. We have the three at the beginning, the three at the end, and Kedushat Hayom in the middle. Okay? So you have here the seven askarot remind you of Mikan Samchu Sheva Brachot Shemitpalalim B'Shabbat. It's not a coincidence. The Midrash is telling us the seven brachot of Shmona Esrei are actually connected somehow to this chapter. Kineged, and here's another thing, Devar Acher, Kineged Shefa Kolot Shekatu B'Mizmor Kol Hashem Al Hamayim. Now, Kol Hashem Al Hamayim is one of the Kabbalot of Shabbat, okay, which we're going to leave for now because maybe we'll have a chance to discuss that. Okay, but I do want you to see this. Kineged Shiva Kolot Shekatu the Matan Torah. Okay, apparently when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah, there were seven kolot that appeared there in the Psukim. Okay, and so there is an idea here of the 717. Now, I'm going to tell you this to save you time, but there are actually, in the first section, there are 52 words, and in the second section, there are 52 words. So not only is it 7 and 7, but the word numbers themselves are parallel, as are the Shemot of Hashem. What is 52? The weeks of the year, the Shabbatot of the year. 717, 52 words, three names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud Kei Vav Kei, by the way, in Gematria is 26. 26 times 2 is 52, which is twice the Gematria of Shem Hashem. Now, I want to suggest, and I'm not sure this is 100% right, but I want to suggest that one of the ideas that we've spoken about here a number of times is that, as opposed to Rambam, who has his 13 principles, Rav Yosef Albo has three. He takes those 13 and moves them down to three, with those three being God, Torah, and reward and punishment. And if you think about it, all those other things can be fit into that. Now, God, Torah, and reward and punishment are also three major fundamental principles. God is creation. Torah is revelation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed the Torah to us. And redemption is Schar V'Onesh. Redemption is Schar V'Onesh. Okay, now, stay together with me. As opposed to Yontif, where we have the same Shmona Esrei, on Shabbat we have three different Shmona Esreis. We have Ata Kidasha, which is Friday night, and if you turn to source 10 on your source sheet, you have a tour, which we have looked at here together before. Ma shetiknu b'Shabbat gimel inyanei tefilot. Ata Kidashta, last source. Yismach Moshe and Ata Echad, ubiyom tov lo tiknu ela Echad. Ata Bechartanu, mipnei, here's the reason. She'el gimel tefilot tikanum keneged gimel Shabbatot. That each one of the Shmona Esreis refers to a historic time, a historic Shabbos. What is the historic status? Ata Kitashta talks about Shabbat Bereshit. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making Shabbat, Ata Kitashta, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who did it. Okay? It's irrelevant what man was doing. Yismach Moshe is the Shabbat of Matan Torah. And we talked about that. And what is Ata Echad v'Shimcha Echad? When is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name going to be one? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Mashiach comes, and the whole world will come to a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have three different Shabbatot in Jewish history. The beginning, middle, end. Think back to the very beginning of class. We said this Mizmor could possibly be written by three people. Adam, Shabbat Rishon, Moshe, Torah, David, Geula. Mashiach ben David. Further, hold on a second. We also have these three themes in our Mizmor. Let's look for them. Where do you see creation? That's easy. Creation, Magadlu Masecha Hashem, that's obviously creation. Let's skip to redemption because that's easier. In a way, but redemption, remember, redemption is also schar v'onesh. Redemption is also schar v'onesh. Right, and that's clearly the second half, is this idea of the Rishayim will get what they got and the Tzadikim will get what they want. And the idea of, and many commentators also say the idea of Od Yinavun B'Seva, when is Od? In the future. Now, Torah is a little bit more complicated. Does anybody see Torah here? Moshe, Matan Torah. So first of all, I showed you a second ago that the reference to the seven can be Matan Torah. Okay, that's a little weak. Fine. Correct. Well, no, let's take it back even a step further. I was thinking, not only Shetulim Beit Hashem, the whole comparison of the Tzaddik to the Eitzim, to the trees, whenever we think of trees, we think Eitz Chaim he. So I'm. I want. Perhaps that's it. One second. Go ahead.
The work of Hashem, the Masecha.
Right. So it's interesting. You said I just thought of this last night in the middle of the night. By the way, the first thing I did this morning when I woke up was I took out my. I rubbed that. But then I also went and I took out the Mefreshim because I wanted to see. I thought that I might find. I might find a portion that would say there that that's Torah. But I have to say that I did not. I thought I would, but nobody there said it. But I don't see why you can't.
I think you'd bet, but they're waiting and they're looking up, waiting for the Torah.
Okay, could be. And then finally, if you also noticed, we said here the idea of, if you look carefully back at the Ibn Ezra that we read, it's source number 2, there's a little thing that thrown in there that also might work. He says, Al derech shnot ha-shmita, sheishmu'u kol ha-torah l'man yilmedu v'yira'u. Right, what's the whole idea of the Shemitah year? Is that you sit and learn Torah. The hatam ki simachtani b'da'ati kol masecha shehem isharim. Aval sheshmu'u kol ha-Torah. Ibn Ezra says the idea of Shabbat is to sit and learn Torah. So how do we know? But that's a question. How do we know machshavot of Hashem? Correct. is only through learning, through learning his Torah. Right, so that we said that refers to the seven kolot. So I think that if we can do that, if we say we have the 717, the Pesukim set up that way, the three Shemot of Hashem, the 313, the different ideas of the Shemona Esrei of Shabbat, if we have all of those ideas, and we have the Adam, the Moshe, and the David, we have the creation, the revelation, redemption, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah, Schar Va'onesh, then we sort of would understand much better what is the connection between this chapter and Shabbat. Now, the Malbim says, what this song is really all about is Emunah. Emunah. That's what it is. He says, this is all just trusting that everything you see might not make sense, but you have this emunah that eventually it's all going to work out. And he says, basically, the Malbim says, if you think about it for a minute, anybody who keeps Shabbat, and we basically use that as the yardstick as somebody who is a believer, as somebody who's Shomer Shabbos. That's the idea that we have. Because why? What is Shabbat? Shabbat is all about emunah. All week, we control and master Shabbat. And on Shabbat, we relinquish it and we put it back into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. It shows that we are not the master in the world, that he is. And that's the idea that we're talking about, that even if we see tzaddikim suffering and rishayim tzaddikim, we know that the HaKadosh Baruch, we have emunah that it is going to
be all right.
It'll all be all right at the end of the idea. Now, Shabbat also has an element of social justice. Right, we're familiar with that also. The idea of letting the Eved rest, the idea of letting the animals rest, the idea of it's not just you, but it's the idea of those that are around you as well. And this is an idea also that evil in the world is also many times brought about by men. Right, human evil, and that's what undoes God's righteousness and the purpose of creation. By the way, just a little thing to think about this. We compared Adam to David. What happens when you compare David to Moshe? David to Moshe. But, so first of all, the most famous comparison, which is one that you shouldn't, is Moshe brought five books to the Jewish people, and David brought five books to the Jewish people. The five books of Tehillim. Tehillim can be divided. Tehillim can be divided into five books. Okay, and so that gives you a comparison. That, okay, I get one of the other books, which shows that there's something deeper there as well. And the connection between David and Moshe, and I don't know what to do with this, but both David and Moshe died on Shabbat. Both of them do not see fulfillment of their dreams. Right, that's a very good comparison as well. Okay, so that our mizmar here has halachic ramifications. The halachic ramifications are when we light candles, we're being mekabel Shabbat. When is you really being mekabel Shabbat? The men by the mizmor shir liyom Shabbat. So it has that halachic ramification. But I think that somehow there's something else hiding here in our understanding of the midrash, of the mizmor, in that it's giving us a perspective. And let's just remember that we said those midrashim that associate Adam HaRishon with what Shabbat was. That it's Shabbat with the creation, that it's Shabbat with the tshuva. It's the Shabbat that saved his life. And sort of we put those things, it gives us a different perspective. And then maybe that's why we have to say it so many times throughout the Shabbat, to help us give us this perspective on the mizmor. And the final idea that I want to bring is there is also this medrash that I thought that some of you might be familiar with, is that what really happened when Adam, now you know that the Midrash goes through every hour of that Yom that Hashem created Adam. What happened the first hour? What happened the sixth hour? The seventh hour? When Adam sinned very, very late on the sixth day. And he sees the sun setting. And he cried out bitterly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he thought that he was bringing into the world
the end.
That's what he thought. There was darkness. And the following morning, the sun comes up again, And Adam is so filled with joy that he sings sacrifices to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the angels are the ones who sing Mizmor Shir LiYom HaShabbat, emphasizing that it's man's responsibility. They were teaching Adam to sing HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises both only the night. Now this of course contradicts with that Medrash that says that it was light all Shabbat, and the first time it got dark was Havdalah, Matzah Shabbat. But that's a different idea. And finally, I think with this we have to close. And this, let's go back to the remember the Midrash. The Mishnah that we started with at the very beginning said to us, why do we read this chapter on Shabbat? We read this chapter on Shabbat because this is Shabbat is Liyom Shekulo Shabbat. Liyom Shekulo Shabbat. That's what you're supposed to be thinking about when you read this chapter. That day of... the Atid Lavo, the one that's going to happen in the future. Because in the future, everything is going to be clear. In the future, it will be a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence to all the world. All the evil forces will be destroyed. The Eitz HaRa will be subdued. It will no longer be Emunah. It will be clear to everybody. And that is, and then it will be, I think, Tov L'Hodot L'Hashem.